This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.
A podcast network.
Hello!
And welcome to...
Two!
Filthy!
Nerds!
Because we're filthy.
And we're nerds.
And there's two of us.
Hi! Goddamn right there is. And we're also joined... in our front row by live patrons watching this. Patreon.com/twofilthynerds to be live in our front row. And we also do stream on YouTube now. So you can watch us on our YouTube channel and we won't see your comments. But if you want your comments to be heard, read, respected most of the time, head on over to Patreon. Yeah. Also, if you haven't already, leave a rating and a review.
Yeah. It's not. You don't need to even join the Patreon. No, you do need to join the Patreon. But leave a rating and a review.
That's one way
subscribe. You know, just do it.
Yeah, it helps. And you can do that anywhere you listen to the podcast. But enough about that. Let's get to the goddamn point. We're talking about Captain America today. We watched Captain America, the first one, with Chris Evans, recording this on his birthday. This is, of course,
Chris Evans, fine piece of American ass.
I mean, my God, what a come up from the kid in, what was it, Not Another Teen Movie, where he just played like an asshole.
Oh, was that him?
At a
what?
High school.
You mean a guy that American looking played an asshole in a movie?
He could play with my asshole. Anyway.
Anybody can play with your asshole.
That is not true.
Absolutely is true.
It's not your asshole.
Well, they are twins.
They're
what
sisters.
If our assholes looked identical?
That it would be really funny if someone... like went looked at your asshole and they're like, this is gonna sound weird, do you know that your asshole looks just like, and they named someone else's asshole, that they're like, why do you, I've seen a lot of assholes,
dude. There's a girl I interviewed for Love Her podcast. When I was watching her porn before the interview, I was like, holy shit, she has the same pussy as me.
This is so fucking crazy.
I looked at it, I was like, this is insane, because I've, you know, you never, all of them are different. I looked at hers and I was like, no they aren't.
Wait, you know what your pussy looks like head on? Like, if you had someone take a picture of it and show
you?
Yeah,
I know what my pussy like looks like head on. Yeah.
I've seen, like, the reverse of it in a mirror.
Oh, I've all of it. I know all my nooks and crannies. Could I identify my pussy in a lineup? Absolutely.
What is it? Missing a lip? How is it so...
I just know my puss. Unless the pusses next to it were similar, but...
Wow, that's... I don't think I could... A close up. I have a very distinctive tattoo, though, so from a certain distance, it would be obvious. But wow, you could. Yeah. I think I looked at my pussy once in a mirror, and I was like, and that was it. That was like, I don't do this anymore.
I remember the first time I looked at my pussy, I was like, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's like there's a whole world down there.
Yeah.
Speaking of a whole world down somewhere, we open Captain America, and they are uncovering.
It's in Antarctica, okay? You see these guys, they're like doing an exploration, digging for something. All of a sudden, they're like, we found something. Oh my God. And it's some sort of ship or plane or some sort. It's not underwater, Titanic vibes.
Yes, it has a very Titanic vibes. Well, of course, you know, later discover that it's aircraft. But like, yeah, it's just like some sort of... giant piece of traveling machinery is,
and these guys are all in like hazmat suits.
Yeah, so they're like extracting this.
Something's going. They're looking for something, and then some guy, you know, wipes something off, and then you see under it a star.
Yeah,
and they're like, you know, one guy's like, Captain, you're not gonna believe this.
Yeah, and but then we cut to the past.
1942, Nazi Germany. Well, actually, this isn't in Germany. This is in Norway. But there's a general, Johann Schmidt.
Yeah, and he is, he and his men are stealing something, which is, it's the Tesseract, is what it's called. It's called the Tesseract. From a guy who looks like, to me, looked like Argus Filch. I never confirmed it was the same. If it was the same.
Oh
actor,
yeah, we should. If somebody in our group chat, if you're part of our Patreon, if you could look that up, who played that guy?
Yeah, this is taking place in Norway, which I didn't realize at the time, which we didn't talk about too much in our. I guess we talked about the start of the war and didn't get into the occupations.
Yeah.
I forgot that Germany was occupying that high up, but there was a part of Norway that was German occupied. So it's this guy coming in and just basically being like, "Joink, fuck you. That's mine."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Norway handed over all their Jews happily.
Really?
To Germany.
Mm-hmm. What? No questions asked?
No, they were just like, "Here, take the Jews."
What do you mean they were Norway's like, "Here, got take
a lot
the
of,
Jews"?
Norway has a lot of anti-Semitism too.
But they like, did they already have them rounded up?
No, they just or are they just like the in like every country, you know where the Jews are because you hate them. So every country, France handed over their Jews. Norway.
I thought France was a good guy.
France was not a good guy. France was occupied.
All
France handed over their Jews because they didn't want them to destroy the country. And Finland
oh, because
the
they were like
thing. Or Norway did the same thing.
They were like, not our beautiful architecture, anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't so, destroy our cheese factory.
The south of France there was a united front that was against the north of France. The resistance was in the south of France.
La résistance. Ah, vive la résistance. Ah, oui. Shoshana. Okay. Okay. So there had been some guy who was like, I don't know if he was like keeping the Tesseract safe or like whatever, but they basically were like, fuck you, I'm taking this.
Yeah.
And then we it's sort of just like building this. It makes it very clear that this Tesseract is obviously like part of the plot. I think that's really what we see there.
Mm-hmm.
Then we cut back to America.
New York City.
Same time frame, by the way. This is still back in the 40s. And there's this skinny little dweeb, basically.
The most uncomfortable I have ever been is watching Chris Evans' body CGI'd onto the body of a 12-year-old boy who
His
hasn't
face.
Gone through a drop of puberty.
Chris
His
Evans' face.
Face.
Yeah, it was like full Chris Evans' face on like a little
a prepubescent
boy, like
a, body.
Yeah, yeah, like a middle schooler's body. And he is getting rejected from the military. And
he tries a bunch of times because he has health conditions and he's also
he's
the size
little,
of a queef.
He's very proud about it. Like, I guess his dad served in the military. He not only wants to be in the military, he's hoping to be in this specific like brigade. Like, so he's trying left and right. He tries to enlist in like fake names and like, and all this stuff. And he's got a friend who basically.
His name's Bucky.
Yeah.
James Bucky Barnes, who ends up getting enlisted and gets to go. And he's like, oh, man, I didn't get to go. This is, by the way, after Bucky saved Chris Evans from getting his ass beat in an alley. So they go to the World Fair. What was it called?
It was the was modeled after the World Fair. But I think they called it the
World Expo. But it's like,
yeah,
it's
like
actually
a technology
a
expo.
I actually looked it up. It is a real thing.
The Stark Technology Expo?
No, it's not. If you remember when he was walking in, it said World Fair at the top.
Yeah. So it's like there's an exhibit of future technology. That's basically like the Carousel of Progress where they
show.
So
do you want to hear some of the cool things that have debuted at other ones? Because this is kind of cool, I think.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's talk about that really
okay,
briefly.
Ready?
Yeah.
All right. World Fair things that debuted. All right. The lawnmower in 1855 at the Paris World Expo.
That changed my dad's life.
The washing machine also the same year.
The same year? They just they just changed the landscape of domestic homekeeping.
Yeah. The home
literally
got a major
they literally
facelift.
Helped the landscaping.
And then, in 1876, Heinz tomato ketchup.
Well, that is just mind blowing. Well, in this one, it's in the show, it's, this is what's interesting. Isn't
a hovering car.
Howard Stark is debuting a hovering car and this is in the 40s. So really, I think emphasizing like this guy's like ahead of his time. So we get a glimpse at Tony Stark's dad. And again, Steve Rogers tries to reenlist.
Steve Rogers, by the way, had like, when Stark was like showing his shit, he had like googly eyes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was like, he was so into Stark. And then Chris Evans tries to go enlist again. Steve Rogers tries to go enlist again.
Yeah. And this this doctor, Dr. Abraham Erskine, overhears Steve Rogers telling his friend Bucky, who just got in, like what it means to him to be part of the military, how important it is to represent his country in war. And when Rogers is again being caught basically fudging his paperwork, this doctor kind of slides in and is like,
played by Stanley Tucci.
Oh yeah,
I love a little Tucci.
Tucci. He kind of, you know, gives a little shit like, oh well, what about all these like fake things? And it seems like, oh, he's about to be in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, he's about to, because it's a fucking felony.
Yeah.
To falsify your information to join war. And then all of a sudden he's like, I'm going to let you join.
Yeah.
And he lets him join and sends him to boot camp, and he's getting his ass kicked.
He's horrible. Horrible at it.
Oh, he's like the worst.
But he wants him to be part of this super soldier program.
Yeah, he's recruited into the Strategic Scientific Reserve. So basically they've got this super soldier serum, which we, if you remember, they talked about in
Iron Man.
Was it Iron Man or was it Hulk? Where they mentioned,
it was Hulk.
The Hulk. Well, the experiment, and like we had the super soldier thing. So they've got this group of guys going through boot camp, and they're kind of keeping an eye, and they tell them, they're like, one of you will be selected to do this.
Mm-hmm. By the way, there's Colonel Chester Phillips, who's played by Tommy Lee Jones.
By the way, no one was more born to play just like a grumpy military man. Tommy Lee Jones.
No one was more well suited to play a grumpy man.
Why wasn't he in Grumpy Old Man?
I don't think he was old enough at the time. I think if they rebooted, he could be.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I wonder what he's like now. He's just been perpetually old, but like, he's this kind of like shit kicking thing. We, by the way, open boot camp with a British agent, Peggy Carter, giving instructions to a group of new recruits, and this fucking dude mouths off to her, and she just fucking
clocks
him.
Like,
she's a badass bitch. Don't fuck with her.
But also, I love, you know, I'm gonna spoil something real quick. She ultimately becomes a kind of a love interest in the story. But I love how women weren't allowed in these positions in the army.
No, and it's like,
yet they needed this movie to have a love interest so badly that could follow through the movie that they put a woman in high rankings in World War II.
Yeah, that they couldn't have just had him fall in love with a nurse and kept it like somewhat
realistic.
But the thing is like, I do this all the time where I go, this isn't realistic. And then Thor comes out of the sky and it's like, okay, well, I guess I shouldn't complain too much. It's like,
yeah.
It's also us, like, really
taking... Yeah, but
they
changed the historical accuracy of it. That wasn't historically accurate. But whatever. Yeah. A man flies out of the sky with a hammer that can kick everything's ass. And guess what, guys? She's gorgeous. Why? Because God forbid they have just a regular-looking woman as someone's love interest.
Yeah.
It has to be a girl who's an absolute smoke show of a human being.
Oh, yeah, well, because there's no way that anyone's going to believe that this guy who was puny and nothing becomes a superhero and then is just like, yes, I'll take this average woman's pussy. Like, yeah. But we're jumping ahead. We're jumping way ahead. So basically, Dr. Abraham Erskine is kind of trying to convince, like, Colonel Phillips, you know, I think that this kid is the guy. And Phillips is like, what are you fucking talking about? This, like, puny whatever. But then
no, he has heart. He has heart.
Yes, and he keeps trying to emphasize, like, how important that is, that it's, like, you can't just have someone be, like, brute strength. You need someone who is going to, because they'll just haul off, and that's leading to, you know, possibly becoming a supervillain.
Yeah.
And here, I loved the moment that Tommy Lee's character gets convinced, because, like, they're all running around doing this boot camp stuff. And by the way, all the other guys in his boot camp with him are absolute dicks to him. They're fucking
with him.
Oh, I love
the scene. The climbing the flagpole.
Oh, yeah. When they're like the first guy to. And this also kind of set up that his brain.
He's just smart.
He's logical.
He's an intuitive guy.
So there's a flag at the top of this pole. And he's like, the colonel's like, who they've hiked up this fucking giant mountain, big backpacks all day. Everyone's dead. If you can get that flag from the top of the pole, you can ride down with Agent Carter, Peggy, the hot lady. And they all try for a while, and the guy's basically like, joke's on you, no one's ever gotten that fucking flag down. They all, like, start marching.
And you watch them all trying to get up it.
Yeah, you watch these guys, like, pile up. And Steve Rogers is just hanging back because he's little and, like, nobody fucking, you know.
He couldn't get in.
He couldn't weasel his way in. He's like a runt, you know what I mean? But then they all, he's like, all right, fucking, let's head down. The colonel, excuse me. And Steve Rogers walks over to the flagpole, looks it up and down, goes to the bottom where it's hinged, pulls out the hinges, the whole flagpole falls. He walks to the top, grabs the flag, and gets in the thing. And it's kind of like...
Not only gets in the thing, but walks by the
Colonel
captain,
Phillips,
whoever was there, and he just slams the flag against his chest and gets in the car.
Yeah, he's just like...
And of course, Peggy's like, my goodness, he's so smart, I can't believe it.
This young boy, this little
small
boy.
Small little runt of the litter.
Yeah, and then... There's still debate about whether or not he's the one. And then I don't remember if it was the colonel or if it was Erskine who...
Erskine throws the grenade.
Throws the grenade. He goes, grenade. Everyone runs, and Steve Rogers jumps on top of the grenade to protect his fellow soldiers. And that's the moment
and it was a fake grenade. Never goes off. All the soldiers are like, oh my God, he literally just took it. I would take a grenade for you.
Yeah, and that is the moment that Colonel Phillips then becomes convinced, oh, you're right, he does have heart. That's when they're like, he's the guy. Yeah. We're going to take a break. And we come back. Steve Rogers.
Oh, Tommy Lee Jones throws the grenade? Oh, okay.
No. Is that what I just said?
Greg is saying that it was Tommy Lee Jones who...
Oh, it was Tommy Lee Jones. Okay, so we fucked up. It all happened so quickly.
We're not perfect.
I mean, we're pretty damn close. Not even close. Yeah, not even a chance.
Absolutely.
Listen, he jumped on the grenade. They were like, he's the guy. We're going to come back in just a minute, and he's going to become the guy. So stay tuned. Okay, we're back. And listen, so they are prepping Steve Rogers to be put through whatever this special treatment was. And the night before he has the treatment, Dr. Erskine, who is the guy that, you know, found him and let him join, lets Rogers know that they actually this serum was put into someone prematurely before they had it figured out. And it happens to be Schmidt, the guy we saw at the beginning grabbing the Tesseract, this guy who's running Hydra, this sort of almost like extremist faction, I guess you would call
it. Which we learn about in the very next scene, because we cut to Schmidt and this guy, Dr. Zola, using the stolen Tesseract to fuel something, like some invention. I'm not totally sure, like you can weaponize it or something.
But
I don't know how that converted.
They're basically harnessing its energy somehow. Like they're like,
yeah,
they're using it as this big inner. It's like, I don't really understand if it does make sense engineering wise, if this was a source of energy, if someone who like understands generators will go, no, this is exactly what they're doing. Or if it's, this is how little I know, or if it's just a very comic booky thing, but they're like, they've got it on a thing. It's like, you know, and they're like keeping the energy for themselves, which I guess makes sense. You know,
yeah, that makes sense.
We harness our electricity. We've got those. Are those fans? Do those wind fans actually do anything? I don't understand, but
I mean, they're very soothing and they let you know that you're almost to Palm Springs. You know,
I mean,
without them, how would you know you're close?
We may never know.
There were certain things I remember when I was a kid, like if we would go certain places, like I remember there was this one restaurant we used to drive to in Detroit and the road was so bad once you crossed over from Southfield into Detroit. And I remember like all of a sudden the road just sounded different and it was like, dunk, 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 dunk. And it was like, if I was like sleeping in the car, I'd be like, we're almost there.
Oh, that's so funny.
We're in Detroit. We're going to get to Mario soon.
Oh my God. That's so funny. Just the little things that like,
yeah,
you don't even like realize how sensitive you are to these cues and you just pick them up. That's amazing. Okay. So yeah. So Erskine had told him that this other guy kind of had some bad side effects, but like we've adjusted the stuff.
By the way, Erskine, what we find out also is that Erskine used to be on the bad side of things.
Yeah.
He's now a defector of the Nazi party because he was like, they're up to like bad shit. I'm out of here.
Yeah. He's like, they're using my intelligence to create things that are going to be harmful to people. And that is not what I plan to use this for. So the bad guy, the Hail Hydra dude, Schmidt, he's planning to have Erskine assassinated. They like are plotting to find him.
Well, he's get him assassinated, but also like steal the serum because he needs the serum.
For his, because he wants to, I assume, put it in like his soldiers.
Army. But I think he wants to build other supervillains like him.
And we still don't know to the extent of, we don't know the full extent of how bad it is for him. And have we at this point, like...
No, because do you remember in the beginning, this is what I thought was weird.
He's like fallen out of graces with Hitler, right?
Yeah, he's fallen out of graces with Hitler. But I remember in the first scene when he's at that building in Norway, the church. I don't know if it was a church or whatever.
Just a very old building. Yeah.
A very old building. And I remember at one point there was like a cut to him and he like wiggled his jaw and it looked like his flesh moved on his face. And I was like, is he wearing a human mask? Like, I was like, that was creepy.
That's so funny. Somehow that didn't register to me. I saw like... when it was about to come off, because as we'll find out that, like, in fact, he was wearing a human mask. But, like, they mention, like, oh, Hitler kind of, like, it used to be his right-hand guy, but he's fallen out of graces. And they allude to, like, the fact that because he looks weird. And I just thought, like, wait, did he get, like, a little ugly? And Hitler's like, you can't be a captain anymore. You're not pretty enough. Like, that's what I thought initially when that
also very dark and swarthy, both he and Hitler, not very Aryan at all.
Yeah, which that's the part that throws me off with the whole listening to them with the convincing of like, we should all be Aryan. It's like, you're
not Aryan.
Why are we listening to this guy? He doesn't even know what the fuck he said. Maybe Hitler was just like, I just thought they'd kill me. And then I didn't want to live. Never mind. I'm making terrible jokes.
So then they take, Peggy picks up Steve and she's like, hey, gotta take you to where they're gonna inject you site. And like, you feel this like relationship between them. You feel this like, she has this like love and admiration for him. Like,
yeah, but even at that point, it's like, is this like a child? Like, am I just like, I was feeling like, is this just like a caring thing at that point? Because
it was either caring or like just a deep love. There was a love there. I don't know if it was a romantic love or just like an admiration love, but there was something there. There was definitely like, she felt for this human being in a deep way.
Yeah. And I think that like anyone who's seen him in the way he behaves, when you're invested in this big project, you're invested in America and like eliminating these enemies. That makes sense anyways, because she cares about what she's doing. So they bring
but you,
him.
You found out how much she cared about him because when they put him in this like, this fucking
they put
suit
him,
where they inject him with it and then they give him Vita-Rays.
And
the Vita-Rays are like, it sounds like he's dying in there. And then Peggy screams, she's like, turn it off! And then you hear Chris Evans inside and he's like, no! I can do this!
Yeah, because like, so we see it's actually Howard Stark who's, we've got like a meter from 0% to 100%. He's like upping the Vita-Rays one at a time. And at first you don't hear anything. It's just kind of loud and noisy. And that, yeah, when you hear him scream, she's like, shut it off. But there's this moment and he, you know, taps into his strength and his like love for America, which I love. I love that.
Yeah. It's
like, I'm going to cry just thinking about like how much
he
loves
America as much as Germans loved Germany.
And that's what we needed.
Before World War II.
You know? So they fucking get him all the way to 100%. Lights are flying.
There's kind of like
flashing.
An explosion of sorts, but not like real, like a good explosion.
Yeah. And then it is kind of explosion, like, oh shit, get him out of there. And they open it up and it's like, ooh.
He is fucking yoked.
I squirted
fine.
Immediately.
I was so excited for that to happen because I was like, I don't know how much longer I can look at CGI skinny body Chris Evans. It was disturbing. And then hot Chris Evans pops out. And all of a sudden Peggy's like,
like wolf eyes, like the wolf heart. Like just, and that's a little like, okay, she already had the love for him, but I mean, this is like, you know, when a woman loses a bunch of weight and all of a sudden a guy is like interested in her, it's like, fuck you, where were you when I was emotionally eating fists of bagels every morning. But so it's this big like, oh shit, we think it's a success, but then it gets super chaotic instantly because the guy that Schmidt hired to assassinate Erskine shows in and fucking
kills Erskine.
He just shoots him. And then
Captain
it's a fucking
America
goose chase.
Takes off running.
Yeah, he just fully runs after him. This guy goes running and like Captain America's just, I don't think he didn't have shoes on. He's just running through the streets, jumping over
the street,
cars.
Like, jumping, like parkouring through the streets.
Like never have
on
I.
On cars, but, like crazy.
Just the spring into action with which he's like, and here's the thing is that I don't even think he thought, I'm Captain America, I have to go after this man. Yeah. I think he would have done that as small Steve Rogers. He just happened to now have this fucking super soldier badassness.
And then I love how he's realizing it, like, as he's running, and he's, like, looking at his body. He's like, oh my fucking God.
Yeah, he's like, oh.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/insightful. Oracle.com/insightful.
I'm hot. This also makes me wonder, had they gone with one of the other guys who were more normal sized in boot camp, would they have accidentally created another Hulk? Like, could we have had a bigger Captain America? Did we make the right choice? I think we did, but like,
he looks great. He's well balanced. But ultimately, the thing that ends up making Captain America Captain America is his shield.
His shield and his heart. But anyways, yeah. He manages to catch this guy. He catches Kruger, but then Kruger takes a cyanide capsule.
Well, do you know this? Do you know about the cyanide capsules?
It took me a second to realize what happened. No, is there like actual historical? Is that
so?
What
it's
say?
A historical thing. I don't know if they get a tooth taken out or like just a lot of people had bad dentistry then, but they would put a fake tooth in the mouth, and inside the fake tooth would be cyanide. So if you pop, you can pop the tooth with your tongue and pop out the cyanide capsule.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, and this was that specifically like a German thing that they're like, don't answer anything?
I believe so, yeah.
That was like, because it happened so quickly that I was like, wait, how did he, what did he, what? No, you know, because it's like, we got him. He's dead anyway, but now we don't know where the fuck this guy came from. What's going on? Yeah. But he had also, oh, we forgot to mention, he grabbed a vial of the serum.
Oh, yeah, but the Captain America fucking busted up. So now, by the way, he's Captain America. This is his new brand. And yes, with Erskine gone, they need to, like, reverse engineer the serum because all the serum's gone. They need to reverse engineer the serum so they can, you know, continue the program.
So they need to keep him around. They have to study him, but a way to do that.
They also used him for American propaganda.
Propaganda. They basically like he was so excited to take this serum. He was ready to serve his country. And they're like, well, the way to serve your country is to become this mascot. He was a mascot for America.
He was a mascot for war bonds. So people would continue to fund the war.
Yeah. So he's going on like this full USO tour, like going everywhere with, of course.
By the way, USO tours, in case you didn't know, still a thing.
Oh, yeah. And if any of them want to book us, we are happy
to come.
Yes,
absolutely. We are here.
Entertain the troops. We're both entertaining and we're dames, huh? Because that was there was a scene where, like,
yeah,
someone was like, get out of here. And he's fake punching Hitler all over the country. Like, it's a whole routine where you're like, but, and then there's an actor who's like, you probably recognize me as Hitler from all the USO tours. Do you know who?
Me? I get punched out by Captain America.
And, like, there's one point where people start, he's, like, in, I think, on tour in Italy performing for active servicemen, and he gets like kind of booed, and he's like, come on guys, we're all on the same team. And I think I immediately thought this, that like, yeah, all these guys are fucking have gone out and fought in war, they've seen war, they've watched their friends die, and you're up here in a costume and being like, we're on the same team. I'd be fucking pissed too. I'd be so, it's like, dude, fuck you. You dance with a bunch of chicks with tits and you like fake punch Hitler. I'm out there like getting shot at.
I would be pissed too.
Well, and then someone comes up to him and tells him, like, you know, these guys have just been obliterated. And he finds out that there's a whole unit.
Someone says the unit. There's almost
the
nothing
unit
left
number.
Of the 107th
unit. 107th unit.
Unit. He's like,
that's when he perks
he's
up.
Like, that's my friend's unit.
Yeah, that's Bucky Barnes' unit.
And he asks for a list of the deceased. Bucky Barnes isn't on it. And that's when Steve is like, I need to go into war. And they're like, no fucking chance. And then Peggy and Howard Stark, for some reason there in the battlefield, she's like, we can get you into battle.
Yeah. So they are boarding him on Howard Stark's private plane. Mm-hmm. And they're going to fly him behind the
into enemy
lines.
Territory.
And so we see them flying on the plane, and it's very much like they're trying to get him closer, and they're like, you know, we'll let you know when to jump out. And then at some point they just start fucking getting shot at. And he's like, I'm going to go. And Peggy's like, no, you need to like wait for the right time. And he's like, no, you guys need to get the fuck out of here. We'll leave off with this before we go to break. He has jumped out of the plane amidst the plane is being shot out crazy. He jumps out, fucking parachutes out and down into the abyss. And I think we'll take a break there. We're going to find out where he lands. Does he land? Who does he land amongst? How the fuck is he getting out of this? It's about to get crazy.
Okay, we're back. So Rogers is on the ground now.
Yeah, sorry. I just looked out the window of my Chicago hotel into a hotel. And like the 8th floor, there's a full size like Ford truck in it, and it's blowing my mind. There's a truck inside a hotel. Okay. Anyways, he has infiltrated Hydra. Basically, so,
basically Hydra, which is where all of the rest of the 107th Division of soldiers
is being
they're
held
all in prison.
Yeah, yeah. So he manages to get in there and break them free. It's a very, you know. Fucking
By the way, Bucky sees him for the first time, and he's like, Steve?
Yeah, he's like, do you?
You're not tall.
Oh, yeah, he's like, what happened? And he's like, I joined the military.
He's like, no, you're taller.
That's such a funny thing that he just goes like, I joined the military, as if like, that's what.
As if that would be the alarming thing.
But it's by the way, in the Captain America comics, it was 100% like you were supposed to go like, well, if I join the military, I'll look like Captain America. So he breaks them out and he manages to, you know,
Rogers gets to Schmidt.
He gets to Schmidt, the big guy who we saw before getting the Tesseract, and is sort of like just doing a full frontal fucking confrontation. And that's when we learn Schmidt is the person that the experiment went wrong on, and how wrong it went is fucking pretty brutal.
He peels off his face
and he is
to reveal a red skeleton face.
Yeah, like a skull-like visage, which is why he's been kind of deemed the Red Skull. That's his villain name, but that's also like what we heard reference earlier. Wait, really briefly, there was a time where when he's talking to one of his henchmen or whatever about like him sort of defecting a little bit with Hitler, they're like butting heads. It's like, oh, he doesn't take orders from the Red Skull anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
So
drama.
Yeah.
By the way, he has a whole army of Hydra people, and their salute, where they all say Hail Hydra.
They do two.
And their salute, instead of one arms, it's a two-arm salute.
But it's fists.
So
they
it's just
fists.
A bunch of men doing an impression of Superman.
Yeah, just like, I think, like, Hail Hydra, which is, I mean, an interesting choice. He manages to get away, though. Like, he fucking slips just through their grasps. And Rogers shows up to base after having been told, like, it's useless. You can't go behind enemy lines. It's too dangerous. He walks up fucking swinging his big old Captain America dick with all the freed soldiers. People rejoice.
How much bigger do you think his dick got?
I would love to know that. What if his dick didn't get any bigger and he's just got this like teeny weeny? He's like, well, we're still working on the serum.
I want to think he is just swinging with dick.
Oh, yeah. He's got a fucking hog for sure is what I assume.
He has big hog confidence.
He really does. So, by the way, he turns himself over to the colonel and goes, you know, I am submitting myself for disciplinary action.
And the colonel's like, nah, we're good.
He's like, that won't be necessary. Like, after he's shown up with guys that the colonel said we should just assume they're dead, he's like, no, you're kind of a badass. And basically they're like, now we need to make a mission to actually go after this guy. And they put Rogers in charge of, like, build a team. And it's really funny when he's like, I'm building a team of all these guys that just helped him fight off the initial Hydra group when he confronted Schmidt. He's like, I'm building a team of the best guys that the military that we have to offer. And it cuts to them celebrating getting free, like in a bar. And they're all like shit faced and just nightmares of humans.
So great. But one of the guys' nicknames is Dum Dum Dugan.
Dum Dum. And it also includes, of course, Bucky Barnes. And it's just this group of guys. And they're all going to go together and attack the other Hydra bases because as they were leaving or as they were in the initial confrontation with Schmidt, Captain America caught glimpse of a map that had dots all over it in places, including Berlin, because they were like trying to like infiltrate within the. They were basically planning to just be like, OK, bye, Nazis. We're taking over now. So this is the moment we inaccurately said it before, but
I'm sorry. This is when he gets a shield.
Yeah, which is kind of like fucked up.
He gives him a souped up suit and the shield.
It is kind of fucked up when you think that Stark just dropped him into Nazi Germany, knowing that shield existed, but didn't tell him about the shield. But now he's like, you get this vibranium shield. It's nearly indestructible. And also the reason he goes, why isn't every shield just made out of this? You know, why don't they make the whole plane out of the black box? That's not the same answer. Or maybe it is. Yeah. I don't know what the black box is.
I don't know. I agree with
is
that.
Is the black box in planes made out of vibranium? Someone let us know in the chat. Out of a fake metal. But it's very rare. So this is pretty much all that they have. And they made this one shield. But it's fucking ass kicking time. So it starts like super smash cut. We see him like fucking going here. We annihilated this. They've got the desk laid out with the camps on the map. And it's like, we've taken out that one. We've taken out that one. And you see this sort of romance start to form between him and Agent Carter.
Oh, I love how they captured the scientist, that Zola guy who was helping out Schmidt. They assaulted a train and got him out of there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They attack a train and attempts to get him. And it's like all these things are falling. Things are going wrong. And they do.
Shit goes crazy. And they lose
Bucky.
Bucky falls to his death.
Yeah, yeah, amid all the chaos.
I gotta say, though, beautiful death. Like, where he died is probably one of the most beautiful spots on this earth.
Well,
so.
Yeah. You mean Germany? Yeah, it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Doesn't beautiful. Get enough credit. It's a very beautiful place. What a place to get lost in the woods on the side of a train. Mm-hmm. So they have Zola.
They get info from him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And which is funny because, like, it's mentioned when they're interrogating him. Everybody else took a... Was it Tommy Lee Jones' character? They're like, you know, everyone else just popped a cap of cyanide. They're like, I'm taking it with me to the grave. But like, you didn't do that. So it feels like you want to live. So let's just talk it out. So they do get information from him.
And I love how he offers him a meal. And he's like, I'm not going to eat that. And Tommy Lee Jones is like, right.
And he starts eating potatoes. He just starts like.
By the way, with a glass of milk.
That was the most disturbing part of this entire movie, by the way. Like, we're seeing a guy
most
peel
disturbing.
His face off. We're seeing, like, people die. People are popping cyanide caps. There's a man who's being injected with stuff going, and screaming, like, in pain inside a machine. And I was like, I'm sorry, you offered him milk with steak. You're like, hey, this animal's dead, and also drink the milk of the dead animal. That's not
good. By the way. That's one of the tenets of being kosher.
I was just going to say that.
You can't bathe a calf in its mother's milk.
You can't have
like
cheeseburgers
that.
Is basically. Mm-hmm. No, yeah. You can't have the milk. And do you think that was the colonel's way of going, hey, I'm not a Jew. You could tell me things. So you look at the milk.
Good. That's a good thinking. Good thinking.
And he's like, "Is that?" And then the other guy's like, "I don't fucking know what kosher means. I just don't want to die." But they get the info, and now it's like, okay, they find where the final Hydra base is, and they're gonna go for it.
They're gonna try to capture Schmidt.
Yeah,
and then Schmidt takes off running, gets in this like super high tech. Jet. And when you see the jet, you see this plane, you see the tip of it, the nose of it, it kind of reminds you of the nose of the thing that they found in the Arctic right at the beginning.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You're like, wait a minute. Is this coming together?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like this, it's very high tech for at all, but back then, especially. And it's, of course, one of those scenes where Captain America gets on board, like, right as it's taking off, you know? Just
yeah.
Like,
oh, that scene was great when they were in the car. Like, they were in this, like, old Rolls Royce.
Yeah. With also such a long nose. Like,
oh, just peeling ass down this runway, following this jet. And he gets on just in the nick of time. By the way, also on board of this jet craft are the Hydra soldiers. And they have all of the Hydra weapons, which are like where they shoot the Tesseract beam.
Yeah, it's like
and
they've
it basically
been charged
obliterates
with it.
People.
Yeah, it like disintegrates you, which I have to wonder, like, is that actually kind of an easy way to go? Is it like, oh, all right, at least it's over. Like, I don't know. I wonder how painful that is relative to like bleeding out from a regular gun. Mm-hmm. But hopefully... I don't ever have
Hopefully,
to learn either of those
painful.
Things.
While he's on the he's fighting with the soldiers who are on there, killing him all one.
Oh,
by
just
one,
boom, boom, boom.
Gets up into the what's it called? The hull? The
cockpit?
The cockpit? Yeah, something like that. He's in the cockpit.
I can't believe we
so
didn't
much,
know the
Jane.
Word cockpit.
Uh-huh. So is
that's
the
what they, by the
Schmidt?
Way, should call the area behind between the dick and the balls. It should just be called a cockpit. Anyway.
The taint. The cockpit instead of the taint.
Yeah.
Jessica Michelle Singleton, you've outdone yourself.
I thought the taint was the taint the area between the dick in the balls or behind the balls? That's the gooch.
No. Behind the balls, between the balls and the assholes, the taint.
But the little...
It's also the gooch.
The little
it's
piece
the
of
gooch.
Skin between... No, I'm not talking about the umbrage, which we have previously talked about. The just... Okay. So you ever go down on a guy and then... There's his balls, and, you know, there's obviously a taint you can tickle, but, like, there's the skin right before the balls. If you like play with that, like that's a sensitive area, like before the balls. It's not really a gap. It's just like, but it's that the underneath base of the shaft.
I don't know what that is. I just know the Fremunda.
It's, oh God. Fremunda cheese. It's from now on, it's the cockpit. It doesn't matter. Subsequent fight in the cockpit area.
They're fighting and the Tesseract gets damaged.
Yes.
Okay. And then Schmidt grabs the Tesseract and somehow through, you know,
touching
science,
it. And it's like, you can't be physically handling this fucking very high energy thing. It opens a fucking wormhole
and sucks him up.
Yeah.
And then the Tesseract falls to the ground and burns through the different layers of the plane and
falls through the ocean. And the fucking plane is obliterated
at this point, Rogers is like, shit, I got to fly this plane. And he's like, I'm not going to be able to get this plane to safety.
Well, no, because there's the weapons on board that are going to detonate. Mm-hmm. So it's on path to go to New York, but the plane is going to destruct. So. Yeah. He's like, there's just no way. He radios Carter and is basically like, listen, I can crash the plane. Which, now that I'm thinking about it, it's headed to New York. It's going to kill a bunch of people. Where was it flying from that he crashed it into the Arctic? It's coming from Europe. But why were they so fucking high up? Whatever. It doesn't matter. I guess he diverts it. Okay, never mind. I'm an idiot. He diverts it and it heads toward the Arctic. But he basically is like, hey, I have to take the plane down. And they have this exchange of, she's like, no, don't do it.
And then I remember there was this line. Remember when he was talking about Bucky's death with her? And she's like, give your friend the dignity of his own death.
Or
of his own choices.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, so he's like, I'm going to do this. And it was like, he's like, this is what I want to do. And it was like one of those moments again where she was like, yeah. Well, you're right. This is your choice.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the dignity of this.
But she's also like, but we have a date. And he's like, I'll see. They like are talking about this date that's next Friday. Yeah. Like just trying to play it cool until the radio goes out. And he's obviously kaputzed into the Arctic.
And then we later see Stark
recovering the Tesseract.
Recovers the Tesseract from the ocean floor.
Yeah.
But they're unable to locate the plane.
Yeah. Because the Tesseract fell out. You know, it's emitting that much energy. It makes sense that if he had all this technology, he'd be able to find it. But it fell out of the plane. The plane went somewhere completely different. So they just assume him dead, and it's gone for a long time. But the next scene is Steve Rogers waking up, and it's in an old-style hospital room. He's in his bed, and there's a radio broadcast of a baseball game. But a nurse comes in and is like, hey, how are you? And he's like, where am I? What's going on? She's like, you're in the hospital. You were injured. And he's
like, no, where am I? What year is this?
Because he's like, the game playing, I went to that game. I was there. The Dodgers win. And then he just fucking smashes her out of the way, runs like through the wall. And it's like a studio.
A set.
It's like a set.
And it's modern day.
Yeah. And he runs outside and flees. And he's like in the middle of Times Square, New York City. Like, what in the absolute fuck? Also crazy that he flew instead of New York into the Arctic and the place they happened to bring him when they find him and emerge him from ice is he's in New York City. That's crazy.
What I think is fun is that they chose New York for like maximum impact of like a jarring sight to see.
Well, especially it's like, well, yeah, because it's Times Square, modern day. There's people everywhere. There's horns. There's phones. There's build them.
There's the naked cowboy.
I mean, my God. And the billboards. The
sights, the sounds.
The moving billboards, you know, where it's like stuff. It's
everything's neon. It's a lot.
Couldn't be more different than it was in 1940s New York. And, it, you know, in the midst of Times Square, of course, Nick Fury appears, as he always does. Mm-hmm. And he tells
him, you've been asleep for 70 years. Welcome to S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. And then, boom, roll credits. And, of course, you always have the post-credit scene, which is Nick Fury, you know, inviting him to be part of a mission. It's apparently a bit, because he is kind of like, you know, this is going to have worldwide ramifications. He basically plays with the fact that this guy is like, has a heart. And he's like, we need you. Yeah. And it doesn't take much. So it's that's the movie. I gotta say, before we wrap this up, we've now seen two Iron Mans. We've seen a Hulk. Mm-hmm. We've seen Captain America. How are you feeling at this point?
You know, it's interesting. I was reading about why they, the next movie we're doing is The Avengers, but I was reading about why they didn't continue with Edward Norton, because Edward Norton didn't want to be part of an ensemble cast.
That's why? I thought it was like...
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't... He's like, yeah. Oh, I'm not the star?
He's like, no. I do movies where it's the Hulk. I don't do where Hulk is a character in a cast.
And they're like, okay, well, actually, you're never going to do them again. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you think this was leading up to? I say that I had read all the comic books before these movies. It's like, so obviously, it's becoming the Avengers. I didn't know that.
But, like, I don't... I'm liking... I've also already seen Avengers at this point. I'm liking the establishing of each person.
Leading
like
up to
we
it.
Learned about Iron Man. We learned about Thor. We learned about Hulk. We learned about Captain America. And it's like, what's next? Who else is there? Who are the big players?
Yeah.
You know, who is the most powerful of the Avengers at this point?
What are you thinking? Like, if you had to...
I mean, the Hulk. I think the Hulk is the most powerful. You can't destroy him with fucking anything.
I mean, I think you might be right, honestly, because it's like he's... at you know, you look at everything we've seen up to this point, and it's like, yeah, he's...
Yeah, I would say Iron Man.
But also,
it's a tie for me between Iron Man and Hulk.
Yeah, I gotta say, actually, because my answer Hulk comes from information we receive not until the next movie. So... Yeah. If I were to go from based on just the end of Captain America,
Iron Man is
I think
is
Iron
the
Man
strongest.
Because
yeah.
He's got the technology, he's got the money, and he's got the fucking machine. Mm-hmm. And Captain America's like seems vulnerable. He could be frozen. Although he was frozen for 70 years and didn't die, and he also didn't strawberry, which is what they worry about with the idea of cryogenic for I don't know if you know this, but you know, they talk about people being cryogenically frozen and will be woken up years later, but we don't have the technology for it. And the reason is they call it like the strawberry effect, where if you freeze a strawberry, have you ever done this? You freeze a strawberry, you let it thaw out and it's completely mushed.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't, you know, some fruits like bananas, you thaw them out, they'll still be in the same shape. But so he doesn't strawberry. So that makes me go like, well, is he indestructible? I don't know.
That's fascinating, by the way, that's why cryogenics don't
work. What's also crazy is, what have they done? What is the research that's gone on that they know that? Like, who did they fuck
Scary.
Up? Where is Walt mm-hmm. Disney's mushed head? Anyway, you guys, that's the end of our episode. We're coming back later this week with the first half of our fucking Avengers episode, because you know it's going to take two episodes.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, I loved meeting Howard Stark.
That was cool, getting to meet who we saw the glimpse of him in the video, and then getting to see where Tony Stark came from. And just for the record, I would have let Howard Stark fuck me to death with a Tesseract. He's so hot.
1,000%. 1,000%.
But then it's like, this was obviously pre-Tony. At what point, what age did Howard Stark finally like lock it down? I feel like he had Tony when he was a little older. He's like, I've had my fun. Who's Tony's mom? What are the things that really matter? Not that. But all right. That's it, you guys. Leave us a rating and review. If you're listening to this in your little earbuds, on your headphones, just know you can watch us live on YouTube every week when we record these, and you can be in the front row with us responding to your comments and your questions both during and between breaks by joining us at patreon.com/twofilthynerds. We love you guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
This has been a Two Filthy Nerds production.